Larry Weber is an author, a naturalist, an all-around great guy, and our natural observer, and our host for Backyard Almanac every Friday right here on Northland Morning. Howdy there, sunshine.
Good morning, good morning. Yeah, speaking of sunshine, yeah, we didn't get too much yesterday, but we certainly got some well-needed rain. Wow, that was just fabulous. We got about a half inch of rain here at my house, and in other places, I'm sure, with the scattered showers, it varied considerably. The Weather Service recorded less than that, and even though we did get rain yesterday, we're still behind normal for the month, and I'm glad to see that there's more in the forecast. The Weather Service had a statement this week where they mentioned that going from the 8 months from the 1st of September up to this week in early May was the driest in recorded history there. It's interesting because those statistics go back to the 1870s in Duluth, and it was the driest those eight months. Now, we should not overreact to that. We live in a climate that has a rainy season. We don't think of it, but that is the way it is, and it does not include those 8 months. Our rainy season starts now, and it goes up to around September, sometimes including September. So to be dry at that time of year is not that unusual, but to be that dry, about half as much as normal, is unusual. Of course, we talk about fire hazards and everything else. I mentioned a few things last time. I'm glad to see the rain, and I think we're getting a replenishment of the ponds and so forth. And this morning when I was out on my walk, I saw signs that the frogs had been active and even found one American toad. They haven't yet started their calling, but they will soon. I did a frog survey this week. A frog survey is done by driving a route. Mine is about a 20-mile route, and stopping at I stop at 12 different wetlands, and I listen for various kinds of frogs. The survey is done three times in the season. Once in spring, early spring, and once in late spring, and once in summer. About half of our frogs will call in early spring, and that's what I heard. I heard four kinds of frogs calling. They were not as abundant as they might be, and I think that's attributed to the cool spell that we had in April. Things were going along really well, and then we had this cool spell in late April, and things slowed down. And some of them, like the whipsaw, never really started back up again. However, I thought the peepers were good and the chorus frogs were good. I also heard leopard frogs. Well, during the week, but not part of the survey, I also heard the calling of the gray tree frog. Gray tree frogs and American toads are the next ones to call. And I would say from the looks of conditions, both of them will be calling this next week. And so that's always an addition. Now, if you've been looking at various media, including the newspapers, you may have noticed the references to the bear showing up in Duluth. And to some people, that might be the highlight of the wildlife for the week. However, when you get a week in May like this, that's only one of many. It is just an incredible week. So much happened. Probably the most noticeable, even more noticeable than the bear, is the greening that has taken place. I mentioned last time about the quaking aspen starting to leaf with green leaf. The woods starts greening with the smaller trees and bushes, but quaking aspen are the first tree of any size to take on leaves, and boy, did they do so. And we've got such an abundance of quaking aspen that in some areas it almost looks like the whole woods has turned green. We've got a lot of large trees, a lot of maples, oaks, and basswood that are in no particular hurry to take out their leaves. But among many others there are, I must have counted at least 15 kinds of trees this week that are starting to leaf out, including tamarack. Tamarack being our only conifer that sheds its needles, and they started to leaf out as well. Now, if you look down on the forest floor, you'll see that there's a lot of wildflowers. I recommend anybody who has an opportunity to get out and take a walk at Jay Cook State Park at this time. It's just a wonderful place to walk. And there's a lot of wildflowers out there. I found about a dozen kinds in walking out there this week. And I think with a little bit of searching and this rain that has come across, there are probably a few more added to that. I've had many times where I've walked there in May and found 20 kinds in bloom. These include the things like Hepatica, Spring Broody, the Violets, the Bellworts, the Trout Lilies, and others like the Wild Ginger and Dutchman Breeches. Dutchman Breeches doesn't grow in too many places around, but it does grow out there. Well, while you're looking at the flowers of the forest floor, notice also the fiddleheads of the ferns. Ferns take over Jay Cook State Park. They're just, when it gets to be midsummer, they're just everywhere. But right now, they're still popping up as fiddleheads, and fiddleheads are called that because they look like the scroll, the end of a violin, all curled up as such. But unlike that scroll on the violin, they don't stay that way. They unfold. What's really going on, of course, is that there's a stem underground of the fern that would survive the winter, and it sends up new leaves. And these new leaves start off by unrolling, and they unroll very rapidly. And with this recent rain, they're going to go fast. I am amazed at how quickly they'll grow. We have many ferns that can reach 3 or 4 feet tall, and yes, they will do just that. But that's just fiddleheads that are very common out there. I haven't yet seen much in the world of fungi, but that might be coming along soon. The other big news, of course, is the bird migration. Anytime we get into May, we have warblers. And I have seen so far myself about 9 kinds of warblers right around home here. The biggest, greatest news was yesterday, the arrival of the ovenbird. The ovenbird is a small warbler, not very colorful, spots on the underside, kind of brownish on the back, with a little bit of orange on top of its head. They live in the forest. They live down on the ground. They're called ovenbird because they pile up in leaves and go make a little tunnel underneath there to lay their eggs, and somebody thought that looked like the old-fashioned Dutch oven, and that's how it got its name. I think they should be called teacher bird because their song is a teacher, 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 and when they arrive back from migration, they arrive back consistently around here every year between the 5th and the 10th of May, and yes, they're out there singing as soon as they arrived. And so yesterday during my walk at about 7 o'clock in the morning, there was the ovenbird. And they're out there singing again today. Now, that's just one of many warblers. We have in the Duluth area more than 20 kinds, more than two dozen kinds of warblers that either come through in migration or stay and nest here. But this was just one of the many of them. And they can be a little frustrating, a little bit hard to see, and they don't all sing real loud. So carry a pair of binoculars if you go walking and take time to look at these little birds. There's plenty of warblers out there. But besides the warblers, there's a lot more than that. I heard a brown thrasher singing this week, a blue-headed vireo, a least flycatcher. I saw a solitary sandpiper. These are all migrants. And then, you know, you don't have to go for these birds that are just a little bit different than the usual. Things like blue jays, they're coming across right now in big flocks. They are migrants as well. Some stay for the winter and some don't. And the ones that have migrated are on the way right back right now. And they are coming across in some pretty big flocks. And finally, I have to pass this on. You're not doing any commuting in these next few days. You'll notice that the trees are not just green with leaves, but there is flowers. There's blossoms out there too. The tree blossoms started this week. There's a trio of them that always start off. They are the Canada plum or wild plum, Juneberry, and Pincherry. They're always the first ones. And on May 4th, I found both the plum and the Juneberry in bloom, and now they're in full bloom. There's lots of them. Pincherry is just a little bit behind the rest and starting to bloom. There will soon, by this time next week, there'll be soon many more to add to that list. Things like elderberry, crabapple, and of course, the apple tree itself. And then the one that we look forward to, and that is lilac. Yeah, I expect that they'll be blooming by this time next week. So, yeah, Lisa, keep your eyes open. There is so much going on. It's hard to believe it. This is just an amazing, amazing time of year. So get out and enjoy it.
And everything smells so good.
Oh, doesn't it, though? Yes, after a rain.
Indeed. And once we get a little bit of sun, everything's going to pop. It's just going to be amazing.
It certainly is.
All right. Yep. Thank you so much, Larry.
Take care.
Larry Weber is an author, a naturalist, and our host for Backyard Almanac every Friday right here on 103.3 KUMD.